So, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the webcast for the Spring 2026 Block Energy and Capacity RFP, or BEC RFP. My name's Katie Orlandi. I'm from NERA Economic Consulting, the procurement administrator on behalf of the Illinois Power Agency. And presenting with me today is Paul Cardona and Kate Morrison, who are also from NERA. This webcast is going to cover the four procurement events held under this spring BEC RFP. These include three events to procure block energy for Ameren Illinois, Commonwealth Edison, and MidAmerican Energy, and then a fourth procurement event for capacity for Ameren Illinois. And just a heads up that throughout this presentation, we'll refer to the utilities as AIC, ComEd, and MidAmerican. We'll take questions at the end of the presentation as time permits. To submit questions, use that chat icon at the bottom of the screen and type in your question and hit enter. And so you know, the presentation materials, including an audio recording, will be posted to the website today. Any questions and answers that we take will also be posted as FAQs. And all of this documentation is available on ipa-energyrfp.com. Oops. So this slide provides a short disclaimer. Any statements herein are made on the call describing or referring to the RFP and contract documents are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by the governing documents. The governing documents include the contract documents, which were posted on February 26th, and then the RFP documents, which were posted the next day on February 27th. And then these documents are already posted to the procurement website and available for review. And it is the bidder that bears full responsibility for reviewing and understanding these documents. So, before I move to the agenda, this is just a screenshot to show you where you can find the governing documents. Again, you'd go to ipa-energyrfp.com. You go to the Block Energy and Capacity Procurement subsection in orange on the left and click on the Final Materials link. So, on the call today, I'm going to start with an overview of the procurement events, including the products to be procured. And then I'll provide some details on the supplier contracts and a general overview of the RFP process and timeline. I'll then pass the presentation to Kate Morrison, who will discuss the qualification requirements. And then Paul will wrap up the presentation with an overview on the bid submission process. So on September 29, 2025, the Illinois Power Agency, or IPA, filed its procurement plan with the Illinois Commerce Commission. The plan was approved on December 18, 2025. And now this plan is what provides for four procurement events to be held this spring under a block energy and capacity RFP. And as I mentioned, NERA will serve as the procurement administrator for the RFP. And in this role, we serve as your main point of contact. We review the qualification materials that you submit to us. We will evaluate the bids that are received on the bid dates. So if you have any questions, please do make sure you direct them to NERA. So this slide introduces the products available in the RFP for both energy and capacity. Then I'm going to move into some more detailed slides, first related to energy, and then we'll move to capacity. So again, the RFP seeks to procure block energy for AIC, ComEd, and MEC. The products available are specific quantities of on-peak and off-peak energy in monthly periods from June 1, 2026 through May 31st, 2029. For MEC, there are quantities to be procured in the first year only. The capacity product is procured for AIC only. Specifically, this RFP seeks to procure zonal resource credits, or ZRCs, for a given season, as defined by MISO, for the 2027-28 and 2028-29 planning years, in order to fulfill a portion of the forecast requirement for AIC for these 2 years. So, notably, beginning in 2025, bidders had the option to bid on annual combinations, which are a grouping of ZRCs that includes all 4 seasons in one planning year. And beginning with this event in 2026, bidders will have the additional option to bid on a 2-year combination, which is a grouping of ZRCs including all 8 seasons across the 2027-28 and 2028-29 planning years. Additionally, in 2025, a new financially settled ZRC contract was made available, and bidders may bid to supply MISO delivered or financially settled ZRCs again in 2026. And I'll go through these two options in more detail on some upcoming slides. So, an energy product represents block energy for a company. It's for a specific segment, either on-peak or off-peak hours, and it's for a given month. The quantity of each product is divided into blocks of 25 megawatts each. The targets, which are the number of blocks to be procured for each product, that are currently provided in the RFP documents, are provisional at this time. The final documents are expected to be posted by March 30th. Bidders can also bid on combinations of products for a particular company and on-peak or off-peak segment. The available combinations are January and February, March and April, July and August, Q4, as well as an annual combination, which includes all months, June to May of the planning year. The number of blocks available in a combination is set to the minimum number of blocks available across each of the months within that combination. And I'm going to go ahead and give you a numerical example here on the next slide. So this slide provides the provisional targets for AIC, along with an example of how the number of available blocks for combinations are set. Again, targets are provided separately by company, segment, and month. The top table includes the provisional targets for AIC for individual monthly products. So, for example, for June 2026, in the top row, the target is 9 blocks for the on-peak segment and 7 blocks for the off-peak segment. In the bottom table, we have the number of blocks available for each combination for AIC. So, specifically for the March-April 2027 combination, there are 5 on-peak blocks available. That's because the minimum number of blocks available for each of March and April in the table above, is 5. So the bid evaluation for block energy considers only bids that meet or beat the benchmarks. These benchmarks are developed using a confidential methodology that's approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. After that first step for the block energy event, the evaluation will identify the least cost package for each company. So that completes the overview of the energy products. The next several slides are related to capacity. So, as defined in MISO's tariff, a ZRC represents 1 megawatt of seasonal accredited capacity that qualifies to satisfy the resource adequacy requirement for a given season of a planning year in a local resource zone. Season definitions from MISO are provided here in this first sub-bullet. There are 2 capacity contracts available. One is for what we call MISO delivered ZRCs, and the other is for a new option as of 2025 to bid on financially settled ZRCs. And I'll go into more details on the payment terms and settlement under both contracts, but what I want to note for you up front is that the qualification requirements are the same for both of these products. And so if you submit a successful Part 1 proposal in the capacity procurement event, you can provide bids for either MISO delivered and or financially settled ZRCs. This slide pertains to the MISO delivered ZRCs. Bidders that have bids approved for MISO delivered ZRCs will sign the AIC MISO delivered capacity agreement that's posted to the website. Under the contract, ZRCs must be transferred to AIC using MISO's Module E capacity tracking tool by the delivery deadline specified in that contract. And the deadline is ahead of MISO's planning resource auction for that planning year. ZRCs from all local resource zones can be offered, and there is a payment adjustment for ZRCs from outside the compliance zone that are selected and approved. And the compliance zone is Local Resource Zone 4. Bidders that have bids approved for financially settled ZRCs will sign the AIC financially settled capacity agreement that's posted to the website. Under this contract, financially settled ZRCs will mirror volumes of ZRCs awarded in the AIC capacity procurement event, as well as settlement prices under the MISO PRA, but they do not require the transfer of ZRCs to AIC. Financial settlement is based on the ACP for the compliance zone, which again is zone four, and the financial settlement can be positive or negative. Bidders in the capacity procurement event can also bid on combinations of seasons. There are three combinations available to bidders in 2026. First, bidders can bid on an annual combination for each of the two planning years, where one annual combination includes one ZRC from each season of that planning year. And then, new for 2026, bidders can bid on a 2-year combination, which would include a ZRC from every season in both planning years. Similar to the block energy procurement, where combinations are also available, the number of ZRCs available in a combination is the minimum number of ZRCs available across the seasons in that combination. So, ZRCs for a given season of a planning year will be procured up to a target for that season across MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs. Bids for both types are evaluated together up to a single seasonal target. Again, targets in the RFP documents for capacity are also provisional at that time, and the final targets are expected to be posted by March 30th. The provisional targets are provided here in a screenshot in the slide, along with an example for how the combination targets are calculated. So, a bid in the capacity event includes a price in dollar per megawatt day for ZRCs for a given season of a planning year or for a combination. A bid also includes the number of ZRCs to which the price applies. And then, for a MISO delivered ZRC only, a bid also includes the source zone of the ZRCs. Please be aware that each bid submitted in the capacity event for a season must be for at least four ZRCs. This rule does not apply to a combination. And generally, the evaluation of bids for capacity will consist of two steps. First, the evaluation considers only bids that meet or beat the benchmarks. Again, benchmarks are developed using a confidential methodology approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. And then, second, the evaluation will identify the least cost package. This next section will provide a quick overview of the supplier contracts. The final contracts were posted on February 26th. There's a separate energy contract for each of AIC, ComEd, and MEC, and then separate contracts for MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs. Each contract is standard and non-negotiable, and bidders will be required to accept the terms of the supplier contract upfront during the procurement event and prior to bidding. So, this means that in effect, all bidders in a procurement event are agreeing to the same contract terms, and they're also agreeing ahead of time to execute that contract within 3 days of the commission decision on the results if they do have bids that have been selected. The contracts for 2026 are based on the contracts for 2025 with administrative updates, including dates. There's one more substantive edit to the supplement to each of the contracts. This supplement is optional and related only to entities that are regulated under the US stay protocol. On our website right now are red lines to the documentation that has changed since 2025. This slide provides the main credit terms for the energy contracts. The exposure calculation is based on a mark-to-market methodology, so there may be a collateral requirement that is applicable to the seller. This requirement only applies to seller. If there is a collateral requirement, the seller must post performance assurance in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee. There are standard templates for the letter of credit and guarantee within each contract, along with a list of modifications that would be acceptable to the respective company. If a seller has multiple contracts with the buyer, then a single guarantee can be used across those contracts. This slide provides a description of the payment under the MISO delivered AIC capacity contract. So, for a given source zone and for a given season of a planning year, the amount that's paid to the seller is the average of the seller's approved bids for the season and source zone, multiplied by the number of ZRCs delivered, multiplied by the number of calendar days in that season. Physical ZRCs must be transferred to AIC through MISO's tracking tool. Payment for ZRCs from zones outside of LRZ4 will be adjusted. That adjustment is based on the applicable auction clearing price of the source zone of the selected ZRC relative to the auction clearing price for the compliance zone. We have posted to our website some numerical examples for how the payment adjustment has been done. And so you can use the link here on this slide to access those FAQs. Notably, there's no payment adjustment required for ZRCs from a compliance zone, which is Local Resource Zone 4. In regard to financially settled ZRCs, this slide provides a description of payment and reporting terms. So, for a given season of a planning year, the financial settlement amount equals the product of the result obtained by subtracting the ACP for the AIC compliance zone for the season from the average of the seller's own approved bids for that season, times the number of calendar days in the season, and the number of financially settled ZRCs approved by the commission for the season. If the financial settlement amount is positive, then AIC will pay the seller. If the financial settlement amount is negative, then the seller will pay AIC. And there's no transfer of physical ZRCs under the contract. Again, we've prepared some numerical examples of this settlement, and you can use the link on this slide to take a look. Also, notably, the seller is responsible for all required reporting to the commodities Futures Trading Commission, and will be the reporting counterparty. This final slide in this section provides the main credit terms for the AIC capacity contracts. Again, the collateral requirement applies only to the seller. Exposure under both of these contracts will be 10% of the contract value as defined in the respective contracts and is required on the effective date. For MISO delivered ZRCs, the contract value is based on the bids approved, and any payment adjustment for ZRCs that are from a zone outside of the compliance zone. If after the adjustment the seller is required to pay the buyer, then the exposure is simply the amount owed to the buyer. Any required performance assurance can be posted under this contract also as cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee, as long as the seller is relying on a creditworthy guarantor. Again, there are standard forms of letters of credit and guarantee that are provided on our website, and there are currently already lists of acceptable modifications that may be used by the seller. Right. This next section is going to go through an overview of the RFP process. So, in order to qualify to bid in the BEC RFP, you need to submit qualification materials to us online. If you're a new bidder and you've not yet registered for an account to access the online forms to submit a proposal, you should go ahead and do that now. So you can register either by going to the procurement website, as the screenshot shows here, click on the qualification form link on the left-hand side, then click on register here. You can also send us an email to illinois-rfp@nero.com with the information that's been requested here, and we will issue you an account. It is the individual that registers for the account that's going to receive an email from us with account activation instructions. Current account holders do not need to re-register through the website or by email. A current account holder is a bidder that qualified to participate in an event in 2024 or later, or an account holder that registered in 2024 or later. So, for a bidder that qualified to participate in a procurement event in this allowable time frame, it's the representative that will receive an email with an activation link, and that'll come today. If you're an account holder as of 2024, but you've never participated, it's the individual that registered that's going to get an email today with the account activation information. We're also going to send instructions to you so that you know how to access and complete the online forms. And again, you're going to get all this information if you've already requested an account, if you're new, or if you're a current account holder, by the end of today. This slide here provides the calendar. The RFP process is going to kick off tomorrow, March 10th. This is when applicants can begin submitting their proposal materials. The proposal is submitted in two parts. There's a part one proposal and then a part two proposal, and the part two includes posting bid assurance collateral. So the part one window is from March 10th through March 19th. Applicants must pay a $500 bid participation fee by the part one deadline on March 19th, and instructions for payment of the bid participation fee will be sent to account holders today. That information will be made available today. Bidders will be notified whether they qualified and that they can submit a part two proposal on the part one notification date. That's on March 30th. The next day, the part two window opens, and part two proposals, including providing bid assurance collateral for the energy procurement events, are due on April 9th. Bid assurance collateral for the capacity procurement event is due later on May 8th. That's much closer to the capacity bid date, but you'll still need to submit your part two proposal by April 9th. On April 15th, we'll hold a bidder training for energy bidders. This is the opportunity for qualified bidders to practice the bid procedures that would be used on the bid date. The bid date for energy is Monday, April 20th. And the results are expected to be a decision is expected on the results by Thursday that week. And then the result, so importantly, the results for each procurement event is subject to ICC approval. The capacity bid date is held on Friday, May 15th. We'll have a separate training on May 12th for qualified capacity bidders. And the ICC is expected to render its decision on the results for capacity on May 21st. So, as I laid out on the last slide, the process begins tomorrow. Suppliers start by submitting a part one proposal to become qualified for one or more procurement events. Suppliers then submit the part two proposal for any procurement event for which they qualified. Bids are submitted and evaluated on dedicated bid dates. Then both the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor in this RFP will submit separate reports on the results to the commission, and the commission will render a decision on the results for each procurement event. And then next, the utilities and winning sellers will proceed to executing contracts, and winning sellers are also required to pay supplier fees to the IPA. So this slide here provides the supplier fee estimates. Supplier fees are paid to the IPA by winning suppliers only within 7 days of commission approval of the results. The final supplier fees will be announced 4 business days before the applicable bid date. So with that, I'm going to pass the presentation to Kate to walk through the details of qualification requirements.
Thank you, Katie. Next up, we will review the RFP process requirements. All bidders participating in the Spring 2026 BEC procurement events must complete a two-part application process. The first portion of this is called the Part 1 proposal and consists of information submitted through the online Part 1 form, supporting documents that are either uploaded to the form or sent by email to the procurement administrator, and inserts, which are standalone forms in Microsoft Word available for download from the website. Please note that inserts are not retained from previous procurement events. Lastly, a payment of the bid participation fee is due directly to the IPA. The Part 1 proposal is due by 12 p.m. noon Central on Thursday, March 19th. The Part 1 form will ask for basic information about the bidder, including its name and address. For a bidder in the energy procurement events, the bidder will need to provide information about its participation in PJM and MISO. The bidder will also need to name an officer who will sign all certifications in the Part 1 and Part 2 proposal, a representative who serves as the bidder's main contact for purposes of the RFP, and any nominees. The procurement administrator will communicate only with the representative and nominees, so bidders must ensure that the people who are working on the proposal on behalf of the bidder are those who are named with their proposal. The officer of the bidder is required to make several certifications by signing certain inserts with the Part 1 and Part 2 proposals. The officer may sign all required Part 1 and Part 2 inserts at once and submit all inserts with the Part 1 proposal for early processing if they choose. A bidder that submits all inserts is not required to resubmit these inserts with the Part 2 form. There are two methods for signing the inserts. You may either sign with a digital signature and provide additional document or information that verifies the identity of the signatory, or you may sign with a scanned wet signature or an electronic signature. An insert completed with a digital signature may be uploaded to the online form or emailed to the procurement administrator. However, an insert completed with a scanned wet or electronic signature must be submitted by email by the signatory or with the signatory on copy. All Part 1 and Part 2 inserts are posted to the procurement website, and each insert includes specific instructions for their completion. All bidders must pay a single bid participation fee of $500 for all 2026 procurement events. Submission must be one single payment from one single entity. This bid participation fee is due to the IPA by 12 p.m. noon on the Part 1 date of March 19th and should be initiated as early as possible. Payment by check is not an acceptable method of payment. There are only two methods of payment, and those methods are both electronic. You may either use ePay Online or ACH Automatic Clearinghouse in CCD or CCD Plus format. When initiating payment, use the name of the bidder that is submitting the proposal as the vendor name or in any other fields requesting the identity of the entity paying. You may also provide your name along with the name of the bidder. We will send out a complete set of instructions when we issue accounts. This information will be sent to all current account holders and those individuals who have recently requested qualification credentials. With the Part 1 proposal, bidders must provide certain financial information, starting with naming the entity upon whose financial standing the bidder is relying, The bidder chooses to rely either on its own financial standing or on the financial standing of another party. The bidder must then provide credit ratings for such entity, as well as annual and quarterly financial information. If any of the information is not available for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder relies, you must state this fact in Section 10 of the online Part 1 form, the justifications of omissions. Additional information and inserts are required for each procurement event you are participating in. Bidders participating in AIC Energy will fill out Section 4 of the online Part 1 form. ComEd will be Section 5, MEC Section 6, and AIC Capacity Section 7. Under those sections, you will be asked for information to prepare the applicable supplier contract documents via inserts provided as a Word document and several representations by the officer of the bidder. The Part 2 proposal will require additional representations from the officer that can be provided along with the Part 1 proposal. Sections 8 and 9 in the Part 1 form must be filled out as needed by bidders applying under an agency agreement or are relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. For the block energy procurement events, the public results release will include the expected fuel mix related to winning bids aggregated across winning bidders. The officer of the bidder must certify that the bidder will submit a complete fuel mix report by 6 p.m. on April 21st, the business day after the bid date. Additionally, the IPA will request the actual fuel mix for energy supplied from each winning bidder in December for the preceding 6 months of the planning year, and in June for the preceding 6 months of the prior planning year in which energy was supplied. A bidder that successfully completes the Part 1 proposal for a procurement event receives a Part 1 notification for that procurement event. The Part 1 notification will be provided to bidders on March 30th via a secure electronic method. The Part 1 notification includes documents for submission of the Part 2 proposal, namely the amounts of bid assurance collateral required to bid on all blocks for each company, bid forms, and information in order to submit the bid forms. Additionally, the Part 1 notification includes an invitation to training where bidders will practice the bid submission procedures. Finally, we will include a Microsoft Excel version of the fuel mix report that is due by 6 p.m. on April 21st from bidders who have bids identified as winning bids to the ICC. The Part 2 proposal consists of information submitted through the online Part 2 form, signed certifications, the submission of bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or an executed pre-bid letter of credit, and the bids themselves. There are multiple deadlines for the Part 2 proposal. Energy bid assurance collateral is due with the Part 2 form by April 9th. Energy bids are due on April 20th. Capacity bid assurance collateral is due later by May 8th, and capacity bids are due on May 15th. To meet the bid assurance collateral requirements, bidders may either provide a pre-bid letter of credit or post cash. A separate pre-bid letter of credit must be submitted for each procurement event. They must be submitted electronically only and from the issuing bank to the email addresses provided in the LC. This includes 2 to 3 emails for each company and the procurement administrator. The LC must be in the standard format or only incorporate modifications deemed acceptable to the applicable company. The final pre-bid letters of credit and the acceptable modifications are posted to the RFP website and are dated January 22nd and February 27th, respectively. New for this spring 2026 RFP, bidders may issue their LCs with an extended expiration date such that the LC remains in place and serves as their bid assurance collateral for the fall 2025 RFP. This is applicable for the procurement events for AIC and for ComEd. The extended expiration date is included in the acceptable modifications and is tentative for the fall 2026 BEC RFP. Should the expiration date change, the bidders will be required to amend paragraph one for the revised date by the deadline to post bid assurance collateral for the fall 2026 BEC RFP. Bidders choosing to post cash to meet the bid assurance collateral requirements must provide several documents, including a cash insert for each company containing certain acknowledgments and a draft request for the return of cash. Bidders in the ComEd and MEC procurement events must provide the W-9 for the entity to which cash is to be returned. Bidders in the AIC procurement events must provide an email address for account setup in AIC's vendor portal for the return of cash. Please note that setup in AIC's vendor portal may take 6 business days following the ICC decision. Lastly, bidders in the MEC procurement event must complete the MEC vendor request form. If a bidder submits a Part Two proposal to participate in both the AIC Energy and AIC capacity procurement events, a single wire transfer to AIC in the amount required for both events is acceptable. For AIC Energy and ComEd, bid assurance collateral must be in the amount of $5,000 per block, subject to a minimum per company, which is $250,000. For MEC, the bid assurance collateral required is $25,000. The procurement administrator will confirm the number of blocks a bidder can bid in the AIC Energy or ComEd procurement events based on the amount of the applicable bid assurance collateral provided. For AIC capacity, the bid assurance collateral required is $200,000, regardless of the amount a bidder plans to bid. Bidders submit bids in the procurement events exclusively using the bid forms provided with the Part One notification. Incomplete or inconsistent bid forms will not be evaluated. Bidders will have until the end of the submission window to cure any deficiency in the bid form. If the procurement administrator provides notice of a deficiency with less than 10 minutes remaining in the bid window, then the bidder will have 10 minutes to cure the deficiency. Bid forms must be submitted to the procurement administrator via a secure bid transfer site. A step-by-step guide for bid submission is provided with the Part One notification. Bidders will have an opportunity to practice the bid submission process and the backup method during a training session. Please note that there is no webcast accompanying the bidder training session. There are different bid dates for the energy and the capacity procurement events. The energy bid date is Monday, April 20th, and the capacity bid date is Friday, May 15th. There are overlapping bid windows for the energy procurement events. Bids for the 2027 to 2028 and the 2028 to 2029 delivery years are due 1 hour and 30 minutes prior to the bids for the 2027 to 2020, sorry, the 2026 to 2027 delivery year. New for this spring 2026 RFP, the deadline for bids for the 2026 to 2027 delivery year has been extended by 30 minutes to be 11:30 a.m. Central. While notification is not required prior to ICC approval under the Public Utilities Act, the procurement administrator aims to notify bidders whether their bids are identified as winning bids to the ICC by phone by 6:30 p.m. on the energy bid date and by 6 p.m. on the capacity bid date, with a written notice to follow. For bidders with winning bids, there are a couple of deadlines to flag. First, if not already provided, bidders with winning bids must provide the contract inserts for preparation of the applicable supplier contract documents by 12 p.m. noon Central on the next business day. This is true for both the block energy and the capacity procurement events. Second, bidders with winning bids in a block energy procurement event must provide fuel mix data using Appendix 20 by 6 p.m. Central the next business day. The procurement administrator and the procurement monitor will then each submit a confidential report to the ICC within 2 business days of the applicable bid date. The ICC will decide whether to accept the results of each procurement event within 2 business days of receiving such reports from the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor. As for contracts, each company will prepare and send via electronic means the partially executed contract documents to winning bidders. Winning bidders should not prepare the contract documents on their end. Winning bidders must use the standard non-negotiable contract documents provided by the company and may not introduce edits. ComEd will prepare the guarantee for the winning bidder, and bidders will have the option to amend their guarantee for ComEd instead of signing a replacement guarantee. However, winners for AIC and MEC will prepare and submit their own guarantees for electronic receipt by AIC or MEC. Bidders will then countersign, send back electronically the contract documents, and fulfill their creditworthiness requirements that are specific to each company. A summary of the contract execution procedures will be provided to bidders. To note, sellers that are unable to execute the documents for ComEd using a wet signature will be required to use a digital signature and provide evidence such as a certificate or process flow report. Lastly, supplier fees are due to the IPA within 7 business days of the ICC decision of a procurement event. If supplier fees are not paid by the deadline, bid assurance collateral may be drawn upon. Next up, Paul Cardona will review bids and bid forms for the procurement events.
Thank you, Kate. This next slide, I guess Kate mentioned, will be dedicated to energy bids and bid forms. A bid in the energy or the block energy procurement event consists of both a price and a quantity. Specifically, a bid is a price for a block of a product and for a block of a combination, and it's expressed in dollars per megawatt hour. Note, you can bid on all blocks for a product, and it doesn't preclude you from also submitting bids on combinations that include that product. So, as an example, say the target is 2 blocks for February 2027 during the on-peak period for a utility. A bidder can submit a bid for both February 2027 individual blocks as well as the January-February combination. In total, the bidder submitting bids for 3 blocks for February 2027, even though the target is 2 blocks. As Kate mentioned, bidders successfully submitting a Part 1 proposal for energy products will receive 2 bid forms with a Part 1 notification. Each bid form is associated with overlapping bid windows. So the first bid window is 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. for the 2027-2028, as well as the 2028-2029 delivery years. And the bid window for the 26-27 delivery year is 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Note the 30-minute addition to the 26-27 delivery year relative to previous procurement events. The maximum willingness to supply, also referred to as MWS, is the maximum number of blocks that a bidder wants to win for a particular segment and month for a company. The procurement administrator calculates a default MWS, which is the minimum of the target for a segment and month, as well as the number of blocks bid across all products and combinations that include that segment and month. The bidder may, but isn't required to provide a maximum willingness to supply for a segment of a month to override this default. I'll now go over an example on this slide. Note that the screenshot is illustrative only and does not follow the bid form exactly. Say a bidder wants to win up to two February blocks per segment for a utility denoted in the cell outline green at the bottom of the slide. The bidder would specify an MWS for February of two blocks, but could submit bids for two individual February blocks, submit bids for two January February combination blocks, and submit bids for one annual combination block. In total, the bidder submitting five blocks, excuse me, across all products and combinations that include February. However, the procurement administrator could only select as winning bids up to two blocks from the sum combination of the bids for the individual February blocks, the Jan-Feb combination blocks, or the annual combination block. Bidders wishing to read more about MWS are encouraged to download and read Appendix 18 to the RFP rules that's posted to the RFP website, as Katie mentioned on February 27th. The bid evaluation proceeds in two steps. The first step is that bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. And the second step is that bids that are selected yield, excuse me, bids are selected that yield the lowest average cost per megawatt hour. Lastly, before opening up the presentation for questions, I'll go over AIC capacity bids and the bid form. Bids for each season in the two planning years will be submitted in a single bid form. There are two tabs. One tab is for MISO delivered ZRCs, and one tab is for financially settled ZRCs. A bid consists of, for each season or for a combination, a quantity of ZRCs, a price associated with the quantity of ZRCs expressed in dollars per megawatt day, and for MISO delivered ZRCs only, the local resource zone of those ZRCs. Please note that you must bid for at least four ZRCs for a given season at each price point. This requirement is only applicable to bids for individual seasons of a planning year, and as Katie mentioned, it is not applicable to bids for a combination. Bidders may submit bids for ZRCs at multiple price points, but cannot exceed the ZRC target for a given season in a planning year. Again, you must bid for at least four ZRCs for a given season at each price point. And this slide provides an illustrative example of how you may submit bids. For the spring 28-29 season, this bidder is submitting bids for 69 ZRCs in total, considering bids for the spring 28-29 season individually, as well as bids for the 28-29 annual combination. This bidder can submit bids for ZRCs in a number of ways and submits the bids that are shown here. Note that it's not necessary for the procurement administrator to identify all ZRCs bid at a given price point as winning bids. For an example, if a bidder submits bids as shown on the slide, it may be the case that the procurement administrator need only select five of the 10 ZRCs bid at $50 per megawatt day for the spring 28-29 season individually. Similar to the block energy procurement events, there's maximum willingness to supply in the capacity procurement event. The ZRC maximum willingness to supply, also referred to as ZRC MWS, is a maximum number of ZRCs across MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs that a bidder wants to win for a particular season of a planning year. The procurement administrator calculates a default ZRC MWS, which is the minimum of the target for a season of a planning year, and the number of ZRCs bid for that season of that planning year. The number of ZRCs bid for a season of a planning year consists of ZRCs bid again across MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs for that season individually, as well as ZRC's bid for a combination that includes that season. The bidder may, but is not required to specify a ZRC MWS for a season to override this default. Please note that the ZRC MWS must be at least four ZRCs for a season of a planning year, with one exception, which relates to the ZRC default maximum willingness to supply. The ZRC default maximum supply may be less than four ZRCs when the bidder submits a bid on a combination only for a combination of less than four ZRCs. I'll now go over an example on this slide. And again, note that this screenshot is illustrative only. It does not follow the exact bid form. Please note that this example is for financially settled ZRCs, but it's also applicable to MISO delivered ZRCs. Say a bidder wants to win up to 200 ZRCs for the spring 27-28 season, denoted in the cell outlined green at the bottom of the slide. The bidder would specify a ZRC MWS for the spring 27-28 season of 200 ZRCs, but could submit bids for 184 ZRCs for the spring 27-28 season individually. Submit bids for 110 ZRCs for this 27-28 annual combination, and submit bids for 151 2-year combination ZRCs. In total, this bidder is bidding 445 ZRCs across the spring 27-28 season individually, the 27-28 annual combination, and the 2-year combination. However, similar to Block, the procurement administrator could only select as winning bids up to 200 ZRCs from some combination of the ZRCs bid for the individual spring 27-28 season, the 27-28 annual combination, and the 2-year combination. Bidders wishing to read more about the ZRC MWS are encouraged to download and read Appendix 19 to the RFP rules that is posted to the RFP website. And similar to the bid evaluation for energy products, the bid evaluation for capacity products proceeds in two steps. Step one, bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. And step two, the package that yields the lowest average cost per megawatt day is selected. That concludes the presentation portion of today's webcast.